You can remain seated. We are going to be in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. We need to get a new pulpit in here that has foot pedals on it and a stool right here. And I'll just sit down and put my feet up here and teach. We are in our last lesson here on Leviticus, and we're going to get into our word study here first on the word omnipotent. And the word omnipotent, we're all pretty familiar with when we talk about God, that God is all-powerful and can do anything. Is that absolutely correct? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. So we see that that's where it is. But look at what Luke 1:37 for. With God, what's the rest of it say, everybody? Nothing shall be what? Impossible. Nothing. So you cannot stump God. If it's in His word, in His will, you can ask of it, and He says, I will take care of that situation. That's the God that we serve. That's the God who calls us into this area of holy living. And we're going to look at what God requires in holy living here as we get into this week 31 of these lessons here. We'll be in Leviticus chapter 19, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, if you're there. Leviticus 19, verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. You notice how he keeps reminding them, verse after verse after verse, who he is to them? And if ye offer, verse 5, a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the morrow, if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord. And thou and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. As we get into the day one of this study here, we've made mention a little bit last week, if you remember, when we think of holiness, a lot of times people think of holiness in terms of what we can't do, what we shouldn't do and stuff, but it's a lot more than just do's and don'ts. It's a lot of God's going to require things of us that is actually a lifestyle in every situation. Like how you treat your parents is a holy living. How you treat a person when you're buying and selling should in be a part of a life of holiness and not cheating them and all those things. So even in this area here, we're talking about be holy by treating the Lord as holy. And understand that when we treat the Lord as holy, we are abiding by His principles on how to treat others as well. Now, who wants to get us started here on this first 8 verses of Leviticus 19? Something that you guys read, something that you saw that you want to share insight on. Who wants to get us kick-started here? Okay, Glenn. Okay, so we're definitely obligated just like they are. God is requiring the same thing of them as He would of us. What else? Holiness is not a one-time thing. It's a continual process that's being lived out in front of other people. What else do we see here in day one? Any insights there? Brother Don.
Well, when process of the Holy Spirit working in the heart so that we see we want to be less like us, more like Him.
Correct.
This is the thing that I experience.
Well, it's like it says in your guys' study here, it says the world likes to create its own standards of what is right and wrong.
I don't want me.
So the world has standards, does it not? They might not. It's like John was talking today where it talked about some people's standards are the area of they put good for evil, evil for good. They have the wrong standards. We like to create our own standards. And yet God has standards that He wants us to meet and to obey and apply. And it has to do with just daily activity, what kind of an employee you are, what kind of an employer you are, what kind of neighbor you are, what kind of child you are, and how you respect or don't respect your children, your parents. So it carries over into practical stuff. Holiness is not something that's way out there. It's something that's right down here, the practicality in what God has required us, that even in verses 1 through 8, we saw that God had a thing concerning bringing the burnt offering, correct? And well, He's definitely, but we are going to, the Bible says, go from glory to glory. So there should be areas where we are growing, where if you look back from where you are right now in your relationship and in your likeness to Christ, you should more look more and act more like Him now than you were 5 years ago. I mean, I remember that when I first got saved, I was saved out of a very, very ungodly music. So when I took those albums and broke them all up and got rid of them, I started listening to other Christian music. It was completely new to me. But even as a new Christian, my standards of music have gone to a higher level of what I will accept now for me personally. There's things that I listened to that was Christian music that was better than what I was listening to when I was listening to rock music, but I've grown in something that's more personal, more edifying, more glorifying to the Lord. And I think
more
we
satisfied.
Yeah. So the same thing should be in our just any practical daily activity. Even when He talks about the burnt offerings, He had that you should eat it on the first day and on the second day, and if you eat it on the third day, what happens? It's not good, and you can be cut off from your people. So God wants us to do things, but we always have to do those things according to what He has for expectations of us. And He never asks us to do something, number one, that He hasn't done Himself, and number two, that we can't do. He asks us to do. These are very daily things. How many of you want your children, in Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you. How many of you want your children to obey and honor you? Say amen. And even as we get older, or whether they're young, it doesn't matter. We want that to be a continual process. Now, how many of us ever think about that child that's being obedient as being a child who's living a holy life? A lot of times we don't associate holiness and a child's obedience as being holy. And yet if that child is obeying the word of God, they're living a life of holiness in obedience to His word. What does holiness actually mean? In the simplest form, separation, set apart, pure, in all of that. Sanctified, yeah. Unto, from something to something. And so when a child simply obeys, they are showing sanctification by obeying not just mom and dad, but they've obeyed the authority over them, which is a part of holiness or sanctification. And so, correct. Correct.
It's a matter of the heart.
It is, always, always. Who else has a thought here before we go to day two? Bob. Correct. Correct. Yeah, yeah. No, it's God. God makes it very clear that is for today, actually, as well. So, Debbie, you guys are going to have to talk a lot louder. Either for, can everybody hear everybody? No. So they can't hear you. So you got to talk louder, because I know you guys don't like holding microphones, right? So go ahead, real loud. Well, pure holiness should be always, you know, when people see it, but also not because, hey, nobody's around, I can do this, but it should be continually because God sees it, you know. Good thought, Glenn. I caught part of that, but I agree with whatever I caught. But I'm sorry, guys. I'm having a hard time hearing everybody. Is it just me? Is it just me, though? If it is me, no. No, I'm just saying it's hard. I think when we're talking, we are hearing ourselves, but we don't know how far it's stretching out there. So I'm going to start having this filled with water because water carries, you know, everything. We'll let the baptismal flood in here. And but I really think not just me. I think from watching other people, I think not everybody's catching everything. So what we're going to do, if you're farther back, the person in front of you, did you hear what he said, George? Okay, then you need to repeat what he says. And then if Bob hears it, he can repeat what he said. And we'll just let it come right on up here. Yeah. So I'm not going to camp on this, but how many of you are having a hard time hearing the other people? Is it just, there's quite a few here. So let me just encourage you. If you're talking like this, raise up a volume and use your outside voice. Amen. We tell the kids, use your indoor voice. But anyway, so I think what you guys are sharing, I don't want to miss. I want to catch what you guys, because there's usually some really good insights here, but you're really going to have to crank it up a little bit more. Jim.
I think holiness is more being set apart. Christians.
Correct.
Set apart. Different from the world.
Man, I like that tone of voice. I heard that. That's. So, yeah, it is. There's no question about that. There's no question about that area there. But I want us to see as we're going through this, it has to do with actually everyday things. It's not like we come into the church, you know, and we're doing alms and we're holding our... Holiness is actually daily living. It's something that is, we are set apart to God in the area. Well, Jesus was holy, was he not? Jesus was holy, was he not? And how did he demonstrate his holiness? In everything. He was serving mankind. He was serving sinners in every shape, way, and form. And that was part of his holiness as unto the Lord. He was serving them as unto the Lord, which is getting into the area of that area there. Day number two, we're going to move on here, make up some time a little bit. Be holy by treating your neighbor as yourself, which is the second commandment, correct? love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we're seeing here again, be holy by how? Treating your neighbor. Let's look at the next reading here in verse number 9 through 18. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. And thou shalt leave them for the poor and for the stranger, for I am the Lord. He always reminds them, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him the wages of him that is hired, shall not abide with thee all night until the morning, which, by the way, they paid him every day. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear the Lord God, thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no uprightness in unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, this is what I'm getting at as we're going through this. How many of us, if we were just reading about this, say, oh, that's holy living. But that's holy living. That's treating people as God treats people. And when you're treating people as God treats people, what higher calling is there? That's be ye holy as I am holy. That's being sanctified, set apart, consecrated to what God is doing, because that makes you more like the Lord himself. So who has? Let me ask the questions here, and then we'll open it up here. How did the Israelites provide food for the poor, first off? Who wants to start us there? Over on this side, I've been talking to that group over there too long. How did the Lord provide food for the poor over here? Tim. So they would leave some of the stocks up there on the corners there, and the poor could come along. Okay, good, Tim. And what is the second greatest command? Who else over here? Huh? Yes, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then what are some bad things that you shouldn't do to other people? Now I'll go over on this side. Huh? Steal? What else?
Verse 14 says, thou shalt not curse the deaf.
Okay. We're going to come back to that one. What did you say, Bud? What did you say, Peg? Cheat. Don't cheat. Yep. Don't curse the deaf. You got any comments on that, Debbie? I asked Debbie, and she was like this. She answered me that way. Don't curse the deaf. Don't what? What else about the blind? Can you imagine people doing that? Here comes a blind person. Here, watch this. Make that person. That's something that kids would do, it seems like, doesn't it? I remember boys used to be talking with somebody, and somebody come back behind them and get on their hands and knees, and they push them over the top of them. Now, I never did that, all right, but I've seen it happen before. But yeah, there's a lot of things of how to treat your neighbor and all of these things here, from the non-welfare system was a whole different system, that there was a lot more agriculture going on in those days, from the vineyards and everything, than probably what we do today. And so there was stuff that was intentionally left there for the people who had nothing to be able to come in and go to the marketplace of the field there and take stuff to be provided for. That was something that God expected of his people to do for his people. Huh? Correct. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. That's why it was so easy, that there was no reason why they couldn't. You know, they didn't. The only ones that you would find that would be, and I hate to use this, but this is what we know, holding their pieces of cardboard were genuine people in need, that were lame, that couldn't see, that were seeking alms, that were dependent upon because they couldn't do anything. And yet, outside of that, nobody up there was healthy was saying, alms, alms. They all were able to go to these vineyards, go to these fields, and take what they needed for what they needed that day. What else do we see here? What's another way that you can mistreat people? Hold back their wages? Debbie? Yes. Yeah. All right. Good. Good. Who else? Anybody? Bob.
Deception.
How's that? Okay. Good. 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 You know, they had, and I think we talked about this a long time ago, what's his name, who always did all the calendars every year and wrote for Time Magazine and did all the pictures, illustrations. Yeah, Norman Rockwell. And you remember he has that one in the marketplace where they're weighing out the meat on the scale and the butcher's back there pushing down on the top of the scale and the woman's underneath pushing up on it, you know. They're both trying to deceive each other, you know, in that area. God says that's not their thing to do. And so we get into a lot of areas that are very, very practical. These are things that still could happen today, folks. And God says you need to be keeping your eye. But I'm just amazed that a lot of this that we read about of everyday treating people doesn't fall in to the category for Kevin Hiram. This is holy living. We think of something different sometimes. Thus, it gets neglected in our daily life of that we are maintaining this lifestyle. Day number three, he gets into be holy by being different from the world. Now, this is where most of us camp on right there. This is where we get in this area of certain standards. And this is part of it, but I want you to see that it's only part of it. Now, let's look at verse number 19. I need somebody that's got a good, strong voice to read, verse 19 to 31. Who wants to do that? Good, strong voice. Go ahead, Tim. Good. There's quite a bit of different things listed in that group of scriptures there. Who could tell me some of the things? Does God want us to be a distinct people, a peculiar people he calls us, right? And what were some of the things that we see here in the reading that Tim just read? What are some of those things that he wants us to be distinct in from the rest of those that are around us in this time and this day that we're reading about?
Well, you don't honor your body. created by putting tattoos on them.
You sound kind of harsh. You sound kind of harsh about that.
Huh?
You sound kind of harsh.
1 year I should have never
done. Huh? Don't put graffiti on God's temple. It does. So definitely we are, God does oppose that. Now, should I ask for a show of hands of how many got them?
I'm not angry.
No.
I'm not angry against people in heaven.
Yeah. No, I understand. But God is just saying that there are some standards that he wants, that what the world is doing, I don't necessarily want you doing. That was the one that caught me, too.
I thought for the first 3 years, nobody messes
with the fork, the Lord, and the fifth. Then you can have it. That's a crab on it. I mean, we know that we can plant something for a while, but then you have to change the soil, let it rest for a Sabbath at the seventh year, and stuff like that. We understand that, you know. But this is a tree situation. You're getting fruit that first comes to the Lord that fourth year. Which is interesting, by the way. When I first got saved, there was a man in our church. He wasn't a farmer, grew up on a farm, but he wasn't a farmer. Had about a 2-acre lot, and the guy planted trees all over his lot, and he would not plant anything that would not give him food. Every tree was a peach or a banana. No, he didn't plant bananas. But peaches, nuts, whatever, plums. The only thing that he would plant would be something that would be giving to them. And then he would take, after it was bringing forth fruit in its fullness, he would take that first full season and he would bring it to the people at church to have. And then from that on, he would use joy to hand out to whoever else. So what else do we see here? Glenn. Correct. Correct. Ouija boards. What else would be included in that? Horoscopes. Tarot cards. But what if we just put the word Christian on it? Christian tarot cards. Christian Ouija board. Do you think people would go into it and use that as a reason to do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. You sound like you believe that. You do? Me too. I do too. What else do we see here in this area? Again, understand what we're getting at here. This is a lot of interesting little things, tidbits here, a tidbit there, on no markings on yourself, no cutting yourself, no going off into the wizards and some of those things. Some of those we readily say, yeah, I understand that one. Your hair, beard, that cut the corner. See, that's another one, cutting the corner of the beards. Who were they under? Who was Israel under during this? They'd been under Rome. Not during this time they weren't. They had the influence of Egypt. Remember, Egypt was a lot of their problems going out. It's like God was able to take them out of Egypt. He just couldn't get Egypt out of them because they had been so influenced for 400 years. So when you look at art from Egyptian times, their beards would come down usually and be cut off like a little square thing. Israel evidently started going that way. And God says, if you're going to grow the beard, you just let it grow. Now, I want to talk to any ladies here today, right, or here. Just because you can't, well, some of you can't. No, I'm not saying anybody can grow a beard. But even though we are currently in a trend of beard growing, correct? Would you all agree with that? There seems to be a trend of beards that are back in style again. Is that wrong? No, because beards are what God gave to men. I always grew one when I was in New Hampshire just because winter was there. You know, you want to have that little muff to keep your face. Yeah. But God wanted them to be, again, a peculiar people. I don't want you guys looking like Egyptians in your appearance. I want you to look like my people. And when you start grooming and, hey, you got a nice looking beard there, buddy, you know, just grow it. Brian Malatesta. He's got that beard that goes out. And you walk up and you give that brother a hug. They're in Florida still. You go up and give that brother a hug, and if you get close enough, man, his beard will tickle your ear, you know. It's almost like sometimes his beard, as you walk towards him, opens up and hugs you itself. He's a good brother. They're going to be moving to Florida, by the way, not too long. They're going to retire. Their grandkids are down there. I'm going to miss him and Bonnie. They are just good, good people. And so we got to find out when they're going. So we need to have a party before they go, you know, and celebrate them. So what else do we see here? Again, understand from the bad things of witchcraft stuff to when you can eat the fruit from the tree to markings, all of these are dictating a lifestyle that God would declare as a holy lifestyle. Jim. Correct.
Verse 1 is odd that they didn't even want their cattle crossbreeding.
Correct.
And then your fields can't have mixed seed. And then your clothing, they could not wear wool mixed with cotton or whatever.
Correct.
But that should show that the Jews were better than us. That doesn't really apply today.
No.
Right?
Correct. Correct.
Following the sun, the stars, and the moon, dust. So I guess the question is, what do you say when it does apply and when it kind of really is a different dispensation?
Well, there's definitely areas where it's clearly cut, because you can be reading through the Old Testament and it'll say about this here is, and then it says, is an abomination unto the Lord your God. What is an abomination to God in the Old Testament is still an abomination to God in the New Testament. But a lot of times, here's where a lot of people who go into the Old Testament and try to bring in the Old Testament where it doesn't belong, is you'll find an area where it says that this is an abomination unto the people. You'll have those two, it'll either be abomination unto the people, or this is an abomination unto the Lord. Remember when Israel came into Egypt the very first time with Jacob, they as shepherds, it was an abomination to the Egyptians. Yeah. So you have to be able to look at the context of it and find out, is this something that is an abomination? Well, witchcraft is always going to be an abomination. But things do change, because some things are going to be because of the people. Matter of fact, what was even some of the things that were abomination to the people in the Old Testament, the Jews, was not an abomination to the Jews in the New Testament, because Peter had the apron come down and they were able to eat pork and everything else at that point in time. So God was teaching a principle. So again, everything that we're looking at, we have to understand there's a reason why God keeps writing after every other verse or so, I am the Lord. This is my expectation. This is who I am. And I, since I purchased you, I delivered you, I bought you. When they applied that blood over the doorpost, you are mine, and I can do with mine whatever I want. You can do with your stuff whatever you want. But we want to make sure that our goal is to always honor him, putting him first in these areas. And that goes back again, Don, as you made mention, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. So correct.
Their heart was there, and they asked for forgiveness because they couldn't.
Correct.
Care.
Even you can see where that's why a lot of times when they were in captivity, when Daniel prayed, he prayed towards Jerusalem. That's where their heart was, in that area. Anybody before we go on? Day number four. Day four is be holy by respecting the weak and being fair to everyone. Now that's going to take us here into verse 32 to verse 37, the end of the chapter. Look what it says here. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. What is hoary head? Gray head. Did you catch what that says? What does that mean to rise up before the hoary head? honor. How do we honor that person? If you're sitting here in the room, when an aged person with gray hair walks in, you're supposed to do what? You were to rise up. Is that still today? Should it be today? It's a thing of honor and respect for the age, because we're living in a day and age where a lot of people don't respect the elderly.
I can pay a compliment. When I come to say hi to Effie and Gabriel, many times they've gotten up to me, and I'll tell them you don't know what they do.
So you're telling them not to be biblical. So we went on a mission trip 2 years ago out of Fair Park to the Indians in New Mexico, and they lived in hogans, I mean, where we were at, and they were little dinky places. I mean, they were, my storage shed is bigger than some of those homes. And they were, many of them, inside these places. I mean, they were packed out. And I remember when we went, they invited us to come in, so I walked into the door, and they're there to greet you, and they're all looking like that. And I turned around, and Althea came walking in, and the whole place changed their spirit. Because of her gray hair. I mean, you could see their countenance change and their awe and respect, almost as if they understand this verse at a level that we as people don't really understand. They still have a great reverence for the hoary head. And they, like, kind of brush me to the side. Like, oh, almost as if it was like, look at this person here, you know. And, that's scripture. That's respect. That's honor. It's the hoary head is a picture of wisdom. And so here we see that that's clear. Look what he says here as we go on. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, for I am the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meteyard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hin, these are all measurements, shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. Why? I am the Lord, your God. So here we get into this area here. Again, this is everyday practical things. Somebody that doesn't look like you, somebody that doesn't have your same accent, doesn't look like it's from around here, he says, you treat them right. You be just and fair to them as somebody that has been someone you've known for a long, long time. It just seems like everything has to do with practicality. Yeah. Yep. Anybody have a thought here? Correct. Correct. The only time that you should really call somebody if it's a Christian bowling team.
Yeah. I've got another illustration for you. I had a church in Farmington, New Mexico, trying to start. It wasn't constituted yet. A group of people, like teachers and doctors. I knocked at a door one day on visitation and went into this house. And I had a can of beer. And found out I was a pastor. A can of beer went underneath the table. Not because of me, but because of who I represented. And that's what
he
had some
Yep, I've been at places where I'm getting ready to do a funeral, and the people are not, I'm talking being at their house 9 in the morning, and they're stone drunk. And you walk in, and they take their beer and they put it underneath. I've had people that were smoking, and they put it behind their back and hide it, but the smoke's coming up from behind them. It's funny. It's so funny. But hey, they're showing a respect in that area, you know. And these are unbelievers showing some respect. The Christians should be, it should be the norm here as a part of this godly, holy lifestyle. Real quickly here, what is the final command given in Leviticus 19? The final command. To be just and honest. Business dealings are a main thing. Why does Leviticus 19 repeat, I am the Lord your God? Constant reminder. We need to be reminded regularly. We are not the Lord our God. All right? And then how did Jesus summarize the many commands given in Leviticus 19? He summarized it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then moving on, because we're just about out of time. Day number 5. By holiness and love, Jesus grants the same to his people. And quickly here, because we can't read all of 1 John, we were out of time. Who is the only man who lived a perfectly holy life? Everybody?
Jesus.
And how did Jesus fulfill the command to love one another's neighbor as himself? He died for what? Everybody. Who can tell me, or how many of you can say John 3:16? Say it together. You ready? Who can all requote 1 John 3:16? No, no. For God so loved us, we ought to... Go ahead and read it, Helen, real loud. 1 John 3:16, quiet down.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives.
He refers back to John 3:16, and he says, now, this is where the rubber meets the road. He did that for us. We do that for each other. That's what it boils down to. Completely. Next week, we begin the study in Numbers. And I believe we go through the book of Numbers the rest of the way through this year. And Israel rejects God's provision. I love, you got to pay attention to these pictures. The expressions on their face. The kid is feeding the dog. The dog doesn't even want it. And anyway, let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I apologize for going over Sunday morning. I will always be apologizing because I go over on Sunday morning. And I cut a lot of stuff out of it too. I get too much stuff gathered. I just don't want to make these pieces of armor two points, two Sundays. So I'm trying to race through the year. I'm trying to race through the year with this and with the Sunday school and with the Wednesday nights to finish up by the end of the year on all of them. So all right, who wants to close in prayer? Brother Paul, why don't you dismiss us in prayer, brother?